It's 12 o'clock, Newfoundland Daylight Savings Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
A family scratching painfully back towards some semblance of respectability.
Well, I'm fine and good, keeping it together.
A memo from your firm to the PMO reading, quote, exterminate the brute.
Come in, Canada. Come to Seidel, Iceland, and Newfoundland. This end up on today's show. Smoking fatties on the left coast. Tracing a path through the thorny past, reciting out loud in the stable, and calling Erling Biggs. Can you hear me? All this for you, with me on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
It seems these days everyone wants a pedigree. I'm in the lovely reading room at Bristol House, our local repository of documents and records. And joining me is Olive Barrett, a searcher or professional genealogist.
Hello.
Olive, why the current craze for genealogy?
Well, you know, Paul, people have such a hard time today keeping their families together, and I suppose they think the past will be kinder.
How awful. Anyway, last spring I asked Olive to put together a Moth family pedigree, and after forking over no small chunk of change, she agreed.
Oh, Paul, it wasn't that much.
I don't know about that. Anyway, money well spent, I trust.
Yes, I've turned up boodles of material on the Moths, and I've put together the beginnings of a Moth family tree. Your family came here from Ireland in 1751 with a considerable amount of livestock.
Well, now, landed gentry.
No, they didn't own the livestock. They were traveling with them.
Ah.
Looking through the local sheriff's records, I found many of your ancestors met terrible deaths, pestilence, hangings. And then, as we near the present, from criminality and vice, we moved to servants, pettifoggers, media work, and so on. A family scratching painfully back towards some semblance of respectability.
Painful's the word, all right.
From a searcher's point of view, your family history's a paradox.
How so, Olive?
Well, the further we move back in time, the easier it is to trace the Moths.
Really? Why is that?
Mostly because of this book I found.
An inordinately long history of the family Moths, including lunar tables.
Yes, it's rather clumsily translated from Dutch. The Moths were from Holland originally, a merchant family in the lowland county of Ucker.
Yeah, I've heard some of this before, family lore, you know, that sort of thing. I actually tried visiting Ucker a few years back, but it's underwater now. The dikes failed.
But did you know the Moths were Dutch spies for the Hanover princes?
No.
And that's how the Moths came to figure in the Dutch-English Treaty of Schleswig-Lorraine.
That rings a bell.
One Jan Peter Moth was rewarded for services to the Hanovers. He was given a large sum of money, a vast estate in Scotland, and the right to bear arms.
A Moth coat of arms. Show me, show me, show me.
Here it is, in Burke's Peerage.
It's an odd crest. Looks like a toothpick skewering a cocktail wiener.
Actually, it says here it's a haggis on a pike.
So, what happened to the land and the dough, Olive?
When Jan Peter's eldest son inherited the Scottish estate, he reduced his younger brother to penury and banished him to Ireland.
My line?
Your line.
Just missed.
Oh, a little surprise for you. I found a recording of your great-grandfather, Henrik Moth.
Go on. Wax cylinder. Must be old.
Yes, from the Furlong Anthology of Ballads and Recitations, recorded in 1920 in Thop's Bowl. In a stable, it sounds like.
Yeah, Dad said he was a blacksmith. Well, thank you, Olive Barrett. It's been a pleasure doing business with you.
Quieten down. I'm recitating for the man out here. Are you ready? This one tells the story of my great-great-grandfather, Jan Peter Moth, who put down the Scottish Crofters' Rebellion of 1742. The harvest moon hung red as a pudding when crofters did meet to revel. In a glen near Culloden, they sharpened their pikes, crying, "Send all the English to hell!" "No need for alarum," King Georgie declared. "No reason to leave our soft beds. For yon Peter of Uckers, my man in the north, he'll chop off the Scot bastards' heads." The crofters lay sleeping, maids at their sides, in dreams of revenge for the taken. When yon Peter Moth rode out of the night with 500 horsemen of Satan, they smote and they sliced and they gutted the Scot, while Moth fell on Cameron, their leader, whose head he lopped off and held up with glee, shouting, "Boys, look, this one's a bleeder!" Cameron's head was stuck high aloft on a pike, and still twitching its lips they did pucker, as with one final gasp he was heard to exclaim, "A curse upon you, Mothamucker!" That's all, that's the end now. Take another drink, Mr. Furlong.
What are people saying about people? What are your neighbors saying about you? Don't miss out. Spend the late morning with a whole new crowd. Join the party line with Budge Doyle.
They, what did it see? They sold me up, and I think they're after leaving something in me. Just listen, just listen.
Line 2, you're next.
Looking for informed comment?
Budge, I can't talk now.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
So you're going to have to call me back. Oh, I gotta go.
Next caller.
Or maybe all you want is a bit of gossip.
Budge, look, the brother-in-law told me they're keeping, like, live animals down there, boy.
You don't say.
Shouldn't be allowed, boy.
Yeah?
No, that was me or you now.
Thanks for calling the Party Line.
Whatever you want, you'll find it on Party Line with Budge Doyle, weekdays at 11 here on BCN.
The hills are alive with the sound of the world's most popular contest. What's that noise from Newfoundland? Well, the mail has been pouring in all week, so let's not keep any of the contestants waiting. Let's get right to the business at hand. Or is that the biz noise? But first, Hollis Duffett, refresh our oral memories. Just what is it that it is? There you have it. And right here I have the fabled bag o' mail. And down I go to pull out at random an envelope. It's a letter from Cavendish on the west coast of the Avalon. And it's from Percy Edwards. And Percy writes... Oh, this isn't a contest entry. It's another fan letter for Cindy LeGros, our interim weather forecaster. I'll see she gets it. She's proven to be very popular in our community. Which reminds me that shortly we'll attempt a call to Erling Biggs, our award-winning weather watchdog, who is currently stationed on the Funks, doing the time-honored 12-month condition of employment here at the BCN. Back to the contest, though, and back to the bag. And here's... an email from Whitehorse in the Yukon Territories. Got a huge fan base there. It's from Paul Davis. It's a long one, Paul. Let's see. Okay, cozying up to the officials right away, I see. Paul writes, Hollis Duffett, I last heard that peculiar noise at the Kværner AS wave power generating laboratory near Stavanger, Norway. I can only conjecture that as part of the Hibernia Technology Transfer Agreement, a similar prototype has been set up in Newfoundland. So he goes on. Oh, nothing else. Well, Paul, thanks for playing the game. A very good guess for a mainlander, but wrong. The noise is not a wave power generator. Keep trying. I'll give you our contest address in a moment, but first, Hollis Duffus, let us in on the secret once more. Know what that is? Write us at What's That Noise from Newfoundland Contest, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or EOS. That address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Fill our bag with your suppositions. Now from the Boston States, here's Dar Williams with Are You Out There?
Perhaps I am on this creation. No one knows the truth. There is no future here. And your teacher speaks to my inside.
Biggs, our erstwhile weather watchdog, who is doing his turn manning the BCN's mighty repeater station on the ever-so-isolated Funk Islands. It's a year-long tour of duty, one I have put, thankfully, behind me. It entails polishing of the steel and beam tracery on the towers, the changing of tubes and transformers in the works, and other routine maintenance so vital to communication. The task is not onerous, but it is very, very lonely. To make this call, we've had to move to Studio U4 in the basement of the building, the last studio equipped with a PBK line to the Funks. Now, if you notice a difference in tonal quality, please do not adjust your radio set. Well, you don't see many of these one-way lines anymore. Let me see if I can crank her up here for you. Not being able to call out from the Funks, of course. One torment from the catalog of torments visited on those at the repeater site. I hope this thing still works.
Hello? Hello?
May I speak with Erling Biggs, please?
Pa?
Yeah, indeed it is.
Oh, so, I can't believe. So, Paul, how's it going?
Here in town? Well, sir, things are swinging. Mm-hmm. But we've called to inquire as to your welfare. We're on the air, I must warn you.
Oh, well, I'm fine and good, keeping it together. Rifle's still up on the wall, as they say. Can't complain.
Well, that's great to hear because, I don't need to tell you this. It can be a trial.
To be honest, Paul, the longest 9 months I have ever spent anywhere.
Nine months? It's only been 6 months, Erling.
Don't fuck with my head, boss. I've been over here on the wall where you mark off the days. I've been scratching off the days
now,
on the wall here.
You didn't make the mistake of adding on to the scratch marks that I'd left by any chance.
Now,
Erling, crank doesn't last that long, so is there any message that you'd care to pass along to the outside world?
Yes. A message to my girlfriend, Marjorie. Marge, I know you listen to Paul.
That's probably not a good idea, Erling.
Why not? What do you mean? She's okay, isn't she?
Oh, well, she's very okay. Last time I saw her, she was happy as a clam.
What is it, then? What do you mean?
Oh, probably not something that we should go into over the phone. And, hey, good buddy, you just relax out there. Your replacement is doing very well. Uh-huh. People love her. Erling, ciao, baby.
Wait, Paul, don't hang up. I need to talk to someone, please. Wait, don't.
We have lost the line. Well, thank heavens for the advances of modern technology. Winding this baby up would take the good right out of you.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. Later today at 6 p.m., it's more Newfoundland Folkways on Snarkin' and R with host Gino Campanelli. This week, Professor Campanelli visits Little Bumpy in Tar Cove, where the old traditions of baiting Catholics, minding other people's business, and netting the river still survive. Mind you don't miss Snarkin' an R. Tomorrow afternoon at 4, it's Thumbs and Other Things Green. This week, security plants for the house and garden. Dr. Peter Blake takes you through the cultivation and care of arsenic thistle borders, Burmese barking gladiola, and Maltese stink violets. And people attending the annual Newfoundland Food and Livestock Show are invited to drop by the BCN booth and meet Chubb and Stubb Larrissey, hosts of Variety Meats. The program will be broadcast live from the stadium this Tuesday at 4, when Chubb and Stubb will present Gland Cookery and announce the winner of the Pickled Meats Contest. A full week of entertaining and informative programming, only on BCN.
This past summer, Newfoundland lost one of its most beloved voices, John White. John was a true Irish tenor, whose love of singing and Newfoundland were an inspiration to several generations. Here, at the height of his powers, from a series of concerts recorded by the BCN in the 50s, is John White singing Down by the Green Bushes.
As I went out walking one morning in May, to hear the birds whistle and see the lambs play, I espied a fair damsel and softly sang she. Down by the green bushes, pretty chance to meet me. Oh, why are you loitering here, pretty maid? I'm waiting for my true love, so softly she said. Shall I be your true love, and will you agree? Or to leave your own true love and follow with me? I'll give you fine beavers and fine silken gowns. I'll give you fine petticoats blown to the ground. I'll give you rich jewels and live but for thee. If you lead your own true love and follow with me. Come, let us be going, kind sir, if you please. Come, let us be going from under the trees. For yonder is coming my true love I see. Down by the green bushes where he seems to meet me. Now when he had come there and found she was gone, he looked very foolish and cried quite forlorn. He gone with another and forsaken me. Down by the green bushes where she vowed to meet me.
Caveat emptor. It's time for our panel on political culture. Joining me in the studio are host of BCN's show trial, Ariel Flint, and pollster, pundit, political insider, J. Richard Kandow.
Hi, Paul.
Hello,
on
Paul.
The line from Vancouver, we have Carl Johnson, Valmanis Chair in Political Economy at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's. Now, all hands are in from near and far. You're just back from Russia, JR.
Yes, my work there is done.
Yeah, the country is near collapse.
Ariel, shepherding our country into a market economy is not going to come without a few bumps. All in all, things are, well, they'll get better, for sure.
Look, everyone should have known that market economies were going out of fashion when the NDP endorsed them.
Attractive woman, that Alexa McDonough.
Market economies out of fashion? I was just learning how to read the stock market pages.
You see people losing their pensions and so-called corrections.
Oh.
Corporate welfare bumps like Peter Pocklington taking the taxpayers of Alberta to the cleaners.
Hold on just one second there, Missy.
What did you call me?
Missy.
Hold on just one second there, Miss Flint. Peter Pocklington is a great Canadian who...
Thankfully, not for long.
Who? Who has been the target of a left-wing conspiracy coming out of Redmonton? If it hadn't been for Peter's stand in the Gainer's strike, do you know that meatpackers in Canada would have a higher starting salary than cardiologists?
Oh, J.R., give me a break.
No, Ariel, that's good money. A cardiologist makes, what, in the 40s, huh?
And it's a cost that would have been passed on to you, the consumer.
Geez, not like... On sausages and wieners.
Indeed you do, buddy boy.
As much as a cardiologist.
Well, dealing in approximates here, Ariel. And if Peter Puck is forced to abandon our home and native land for the land of the free and home on the range, I, for one, will be turning in my Order of Canada.
Sure. I thought you sent it back when they stripped Alan Eagleson of his.
Yeah, I did. I bought another one.
You buy those things?
Well, in a manner of speaking, Paul.
How much, dear?
One human soul in Jay Richards' case.
Oh, Carla, I'd forgotten you were there. Vancouver, yeah. Eh? Look, smoke some of that heroin for me, will you? My notes tell me that you're helping the pepper-sprayed APEC protesters with their case.
Traitor!
Yes, I'm advising their legal team. It's an outrage.
The man you should be after, Carl, is right here in this studio.
Paul?
I believe it will soon come out that Jay Richard advised the PMO on exactly how to handle the protesters.
Is that true, J.R.?
Well, let's see what she has first.
A memo from your firm to the PMO reading, quote, exterminate the brutes.
That's
unquote.
Nothing. That's nothing. It was just one of many ideas being bounced around.
Oh, killing the protesters?
With a fuel cell bomb, yes.
Oh, so you admit to writing this?
No. But I have to tell you that the suggestion was rejected out of hand by the Prime Minister personally. There was a heritage garden in the area. The fuel cell bomb would have taken everything out.
Has a soft spot for the foliage, does he, our Jean?
Listen, Ariel, a heritage garden?
Why didn't you just let Suharto's armed gang have a go at them?
Poor old Suharto. I'm going to miss that guy.
Hollis is telling me to move on to the bank mergers, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I love this. How Canadian. Everybody waits on a committee report that doesn't come to any conclusion.
Yeah, it's been characterized as having given bank mergers a yellow light.
Which, where I come from, means Florence!
Oh, it means caution.
In Nova Scotia, maybe. Besides, it's only a cosmetic issue. The banks are all tied together already.
Oh, really? How?
Well, there's a secret society. Meets down in Washington in a bunker underneath the Federal Reserve. Oh, you almost got me there, Flint. I don't know what you're talking about.
Me? You?
Am not.
R2, for the clock has once again set on this very feature.
What?
J. Flint, J.R. Kandel, C. Johnson, thanks. Bridges. Next time.
Wait, bye.
Coast to coast in Newfoundland, you're listening to BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Family trees, eh? Reiner, married 6 times, 43 children. Henrik, died at 108. But when the past becomes the present, it's a worry. When the past becomes the future, it's time to bail. Roots, history, parentage, lineage. Where are we coming from? Where are we going to? Nature or nurture? Are they not one side of the same coin? And there's no escaping either. But can they be changed or massaged? The collision is perhaps unavoidable. But how can we lessen or limit the damage? I've often considered an interest in past generations as a symptom of minor brain damage or terminal idiocy. What huge wads of money that could be properly streamed towards feeding and housing the kids are spent instead on trips to the old country in search of the burn where some ancestor or another of yours rolled around in the hay long enough and with someone fertile enough to ensure that you ended up where you are today? Who cares about their great-great-grandfather? Is that where he was born? Burned at the stake right there, hey? Fine. Where's the bank book? What did he leave me? Of what possible significance to my life is the knowledge or first-hand experience of some geezer's last resting place or site of their ritual slaying. Does it make me a better person? Okay, so some famous guitar player once said, "Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to fulfill it." Yeah, so, but if it's in your genes, maybe it's better you don't know about it. Or maybe that you don't know all about it.
Eastern is live to you each week at this very time from our BCN studios. Hollis Duffett is our man on the pedals and levers, and Ish Lundrigan is the director of radio. If you'd like to correspond, our mailing address is 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5, and our electronic one is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Our history, bios, photos, and sound are available on the World Wide Web at www.greateastern.cbc.ca. The Great Eastern is also broadcast every Saturday evening on Radio 2 of the CBC service and on the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Hello, I'm Cindy LeGros, your interim weather watchdog with Traffic Alert. Traffic Alert is brought to you by Furlong Confections. Whether it's butterscotch, bullseye, or peppermint, enjoy a Furlong Knob today. First, I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who came out last Saturday and helped with our Varick Syndrome Bowl-a-thon. We raised over $14,000. Great work, gang. Oh, and special thanks to everyone at Bowlaroo. You guys are the best.